Thank you, Chrissy. Will you believe what I am about to preach? What I'm about to say to you? Will you listen and will you believe? In this passage that Chrissy just read from 1 John, John's making a contrast between the spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of error, or the spirit of the Antichrist. And these spirits speak through people. Teachers and pastors and so-called prophets. And John said, do not believe every spirit. So how do you know if you should believe me? How do you know which spirit is behind what I say? Or what about last week? I was away for the weekend last week. I'm very thankful to be back with you this morning. But last week, if you were here, Ron Ziegler preached in the morning, and Colin Gingrich, our new pastoral intern, preached here for the first time Sunday evening. If you heard what they said, if you were here, did you believe? And if so, why? Which spirit was behind what they said? Now, even though I was not here when they preached their sermons, thanks to modern technology and Jonathan Capril giving us time to put those sermons up on our website, I was able to listen to them throughout the week, and I would affirm that it was indeed the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit that was behind, that was guiding what both those men preached, and I was greatly blessed by their messages. And I believe God calls us to believe and to do the word that they preach. But will you believe what I say today? If what I say does not line up with what the Word of God says, then don't believe it. Will you believe what I say today? Who do you believe? Who do you listen to? Because not all pastors are saying the same thing. There are pastors in churches today who proclaim messages that contradict one another, that both cannot be true. Not everyone claiming to speak in the name of God actually does so. Some who claim to speak for God actually, in reality, speak instead on behalf of God's enemy, Satan. And so there is a great need for discernment when it comes to who we listen to, who we read, who we are influenced by, who we believe. In our passage today, John warns his readers to exercise discernment when they encounter people who claim to speak in the name of God. It's as if John is saying, be careful who you listen to. Don't believe everything you hear. Indeed, God's people must exercise discernment so that we listen to those who truly believe and teach the Word of God rather than those who promote error. And with that in mind, let's examine this passage this morning so that we can learn to exercise this kind of godly discernment so that we might be doers of the Word and not hearers only. As we look at the passage, there are two commands in this passage this morning. Do not believe every spirit, and then test the spirits to see whether they are from God. And I want to begin by looking at these two commands. First, do not believe every spirit. We might ask why. Why shouldn't we believe every spirit? And the answer is right there in the text, because not every spirit is from God. Not every spirit is true or teaches what is true. Look at what John says in the text. Verse 1. Many false prophets have gone out into the world. Verse 3, there are spirits, there are teachings that are not from God. Not from God. This is the spirit, John says, of the Antichrist. We saw that earlier in this letter, chapter 2. The Antichrist is opposed to Christ, an enemy of Christ. Verse 5, this spirit, this teaching is from the world. And then verse 6, it is the spirit of error. Beloved, do you want to believe? Do you want to listen to? Do you want to be influenced by teaching that is from a false prophet? That is not from God. That is the spirit of the Antichrist. That is from the world. That is the spirit of error. No, we do not want to listen to that kind of teaching. John says, do not believe every spirit. And John is simply repeating the warning that is given over and over and over again throughout God's word. The Old Testament warned against this. Jesus warned his disciples against false prophets. So did Paul, so did Peter. Listen to these words from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 13. God's word says, "If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from your midst." So here the Old Testament is warning us against these prophets who even say things will happen, and they do, but it's a test. And God's word says, do not listen to them. Or hear Jesus' words from Matthew's gospel. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits." Later in Matthew 24, Jesus said, "And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray." Later, Paul would warn God's people in Acts chapter 20 as he is saying farewell to the elders at the church at Ephesus. It's the last time he's going to see them. And he has important words for them, including these. He says, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert." Paul warns us. And then Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed, and in their greed they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep." Beloved, since the Old Testament warned against false prophets, since Jesus warned against false prophets, since Paul warned us against false prophets, since Peter warned about false prophets, and since John commands us, do not believe every spirit, for many false prophets have gone out into the world, don't you believe, don't you see that there is indeed a need for Christian discernment, a need for us to be on guard, to be alert, a need for us to not believe everything we hear, to be careful who we listen to. Unbelief, the kind of unbelief that John is commanding, do not believe every spirit. That kind of unbelief can be as much a mark of spiritual maturity as belief. Right at the end of chapter 3, you might remember, 2 weeks ago Seth preached on that passage, and right at the end we are commanded to believe in the name of the Son of God. And then immediately after that we're told, do not believe. So our belief is not to be indiscriminate. There's to be a discernment about it. Do not believe every spirit. Why? Because not every spirit is from God. Not every spirit is true or teaches what is true, because some teaching is indeed of the devil, not aimed at your good, not aimed to save, not aimed for eternal life, not out of love, but instead it is designed for your destruction. It's aimed to condemn, to lead you to death, and it comes not from a heart of love, but from a heart of hatred. Now you would think, with such a contrast being made here, that these false prophets would be easy to spot, right? But often they are not. Yes, we might say some are easier than others, but many, as Jesus said, come to us in sheep's clothing, disguising themselves, trying to fit in, trying to blend in. The Bible speaks of Satan being disguised as an angel of light. So think about it. If you're going to make counterfeit money, not that you ever would, but if you were going to make counterfeit money and you want to deceive somebody, you're not going to make a bill and then put a Mickey Mouse face on it instead of Benjamin Franklin, right? You want it to be as close to the real thing as possible. And notice I said Benjamin Franklin, not George Washington. Why would you even do that? I was just saying, if you're paying attention, some of you are. Well, or think about that game. Have you ever played that game? I think it was called Spot the Differences. You have these two pictures, one over top of the other, and they look at first glance exactly alike, but you're supposed to find out what the differences are between them. I love that game. And when I was younger growing up, I think they had that game in the comics section of the Sunday paper every week. And I would grab it before church, and on the way to church, I'd be scrambling trying to find those differences. I love that game, but it could be really hard to spot the differences. I think the one that I played, they had six differences. And usually, you know, the first one, two, three, four might not be too hard. You could find them fairly easily. But then that the fifth, the sixth, those last ones, they could be really hard. In fact, sometimes they were so hard I'd start counting again. Did I already get them? And for some reason I just haven't counted right. That last one could be really hard to spot. False prophets are like that last difference, really hard to spot. They are trying their best to look like the real thing so that you will listen and embrace their teaching and follow them away from truth and from the true God. They don't come with a Mickey Mouse face on the bill. They come not looking like a wolf, but they come in sheep's clothing. Now, John has been addressing false teaching throughout this letter. We've seen that. And he was doing that because there were false prophets who had left his church and they were teaching heresy and they were trying to lead his members astray. So John is living this as he writes this. It's happening among his own people. Think about that. We mentioned this a few weeks ago. The false prophets that John is warning against here were people who used to sit among them, people that they knew, that they loved, that they respected. People that I'm sure they saw as kind and friendly and warm and loving. People that you would want to give the benefit of the doubt to. People that they may have had into their home. Maybe they were in their home for a Bible study. It's people that you want to believe, that maybe you believed before. And yet, they were people who had been led astray by the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of error, the spirit of deception. And now this spirit wants to drag you down, drag you astray and away with them. Now, that should not shock us. It ought to grieve us and make us sad, but we shouldn't be surprised when we see this happening. It's been happening from the very beginning because there is a spiritual warfare going on between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Instead, the second command in this passage tells us to test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, how do we do this? What is the test? When we see that, immediately comes to my mind, well, do we have the answer key? Is John going to show us how to do this so that we know? And indeed, he does. He gives us a twofold test whereby we can test the spirits. I want to summarize it for you and then show it to you in the text. So first, the summary. Here's how we test the spirits. First, do they believe and teach what the Bible says about Jesus? That's the first part. Do they believe and teach what the Bible says about Jesus? And then second, do they listen to and submit to the Word of God? Or do they believe and teach the Bible? It's a two-part test. First, do they believe and teach what the Bible says about Jesus? John states it very clearly in verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. Remember, John is addressing a specific false teaching that was threatening the church in his day. The denial of Jesus having come in the flesh. And John is trying to protect the people of God from false teachers who were denying that Jesus is truly human. By denying the humanity of Jesus, these teachers, these false teachers, were also denying the significance of the atoning work, the saving work that Jesus had done in his body, in the flesh. And so this was a gospel issue. This was a matter of life, eternal life, and death. If Jesus was not truly human, then he could not be a high priest who could sympathize with us in every way except for sin. If he was not truly human, then he could not be our Redeemer who bore our sin as a human in our place. So these false teachers did not believe the truth about Jesus that we have in the Gospels. Their denial of the humanity of Jesus was a denial of the gospel itself, and John would not tolerate it. And we ought not to tolerate it. John would not tolerate it because he knew how dangerous it was, how destructive this teaching is. Now, I suspect in our day that this particular denial is probably not quite as common as the opposite. In our day, it's probably more likely that you've come across people who would affirm the humanity of Jesus, but they would deny his divinity, his deity. They might agree with you that Jesus was a man, but they would not agree that Jesus was God, truly divine and truly human, both God and man at the same time. Are we on guard against these false teachings? So the first part of the test is this: do they believe and teach what the Bible says is true about Jesus? And I would ask you to consider that question personally yourself. Do you believe what the Bible says is true about Jesus? When John says, every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ, he's using the same word that he used earlier in the first chapter of his letter, 1 John 1:9, where he wrote, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that word confess, it doesn't mean to just say the right words. Anyone can do that. Even evil, unclean spirits, demons, said the right words about Jesus when he was on earth. So anyone can say the right words, but to confess means more than just saying the right words. It means to agree with what God says, to say the same thing God says. So, for example, when we confess our sins, we are agreeing with what God says about our sins, acknowledging that it is true, accepting the reality of it, that our sins, our failure to obey God, or our active disobedience against God, apart from the cleansing work of Jesus Christ, our sins make us guilty before the Holy God. Our sins separate us from the Holy God, and they make us justly deserving of his eternal punishment. When we confess our sins, we're saying, we agree with that. We understand that that is true and that we are in need of a Savior. Well, to confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is to agree with what God says about his Son in his Word. To believe that Jesus is God's promised King, the Messiah, the Savior to come. He truly came in the flesh. He is indeed Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Son of God and the Savior of sinners. He did live a perfect life of obedience to God. And then he died on the cross in our place, paying the punishment for our sin. He was crucified, dead, and buried, and the third day rose again from the dead with a true physical body, a resurrected, glorified body, but a true physical body. Do you say the same things about Jesus that God says in his Word? Have you personally trusted in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Do you agree with what the Bible says, that you are hopeless apart from him? And that salvation is found in Christ and in Christ alone. That's the first part of the test. We see the second part of the test in verse 6, that summary. Do they listen to and submit to the Word of God? This is how John says it in verse 6. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. So when John says, whoever knows God listens to us, the us he is referring to is the apostles, himself and the other apostles. In other words, he is saying, those who are true prophets listen to the apostles' teaching. And where do we find the apostles' teaching today? We don't have men and women walking around today who are God's apostles, communicating new revelation from God's word. Where do we find the teaching of the apostles? We find it in the written word of God. They wrote it down for us through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We find it in the Bible. So John is saying that those who are not true prophets do not receive the teaching of the apostles. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us, John said. They reject the teaching of the Word of God. John also says that they are from the world and they speak from the world. They speak from the viewpoint of the world because they're teaching about Jesus. Their understanding of the Word of God is not shaped by the original gospel message. It's not shaped by an understanding that there is a good and righteous and holy God who has communicated His truth to us, who's perfect in His wisdom, and all that He says is perfectly true and perfectly wise. Instead, what they teach is shaped by worldly categories, by their own wisdom, their own understanding, their refusal to submit to the Word of God, and the world listens to them. These teachers are much more popular than I am, much more popular than any pastor of any church anywhere. People, the world listens to them, and they receive and they accept that kind of teaching. But, beloved, do not be deceived. The reality, the truth is, these false teachers are speaking not just from themselves, but they are speaking by demonic influence. There's a spirit behind their teaching. That's the point, what John is saying. There is a spirit behind their teaching, and it is not the Spirit of God. It's the opposite. One pastor said that they are demonically inspired missionaries on a satanic assignment. I mean, think about it. We just prayed for Nikki and Miguel to send them out. We're praying that they'll be sent out in the power of the Holy Spirit so they can go and they can proclaim the truth of God's word. We are involved in this spiritual battle where there are real, living, breathing men and women who are sent out, not by the Holy Spirit, but the evil spirit. And they may be knocking on your door. Or they may be talking to you where you work or at your school. Or they may be proclaiming the words from a pulpit in a church. But they're not sent by the Spirit of God. Demonically inspired missionaries on a satanic assignment. There are many people today who claim to be the agents of God, the messengers of God, the heralds of God, who deny the very word of God, who regularly call into question the authority and the truthfulness of this word, who are saying it teaches something other than what it does. There are many who claim to speak for God who proclaim and teach the opposite of what the Bible teaches. Are you listening to them? Do you believe what they say? Now, on a side note, I thought it might be important just to mention this at this time. This is one reason why your elders, the session, vote to approve the books or the curriculum that you might use in any form of teaching in an organized ministry here at Proclamation, because we have a responsibility before God. We are accountable to God for what you are taught from this church. And we want to ensure that you are taught the truth of God's word. And because there are many prophets, many proponents of false teaching out there today, and we want to protect you from the spirit of error. And we want to ensure that you are fed with the truth of God's word. And we want you to grow in discernment yourself. We want you to have that discernment yourself. And the way for you to do that is to study God's word. How can you know the truth? By studying God's word, by studying the truth. Earlier, I mentioned that Spot the Differences game, right? Well, how do you see the differences between the two pictures? By studying the original. You look at that. And the way you tell the difference is when you see something that's not the same as the original, right? I've been told it's the same with counterfeit money. Those who can tell the difference, the way they can tell the difference is because they study the real thing so thoroughly that they can tell when something is different. And so if you want to grow in discernment, if you want to be on your guard, to be alert against these demonic false teachings, you must study the Word of God. You must understand and know what it says is true about Jesus. Listen to it and submit to its teachings. Compare what you hear with what the Bible says. Be like the Bereans in Acts 17. It's one of the verses we put on the inside cover of our worship guide this week for our reflection. The Bereans received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. So they were hearing things, studying things, and then examining the scriptures to make sure that what they heard was in accord with the truth of God's word. I began by asking you this morning, will you believe what I am about to preach? And my encouragement would be, today and every week, don't take my word for it. Bring your Bible. Open your Bible. Check what I say with what the Word of God says. And study the Word. Are we teaching what is in accord with the truth of God's Word? I want to close by looking at the encouragement that John gives God's people in the very middle of this section, verse 4. Let's look at verse 4. John writes, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Beloved, while this spiritual battle rages around you, you are not alone in this warfare. And your ability to test the spirits is not dependent upon your own wisdom and your own strength and your own intellectual ability. Your spiritual security depends on the Almighty Spirit of God, who is at work within you and is in you. God's Spirit enables God's people to believe in God's Son and listen to God's Word. This is a gift to us from God. We depend on Him. And so if you are a child of God, you've been made new, and so now you have a God-given desire and hunger and radar, in a sense, for the Word of God. That Spirit within you. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that his sheep hear his voice. He knows them and they follow him. He said before Pilate that everyone who is of the truth listens to his voice. He said in John's Gospel chapter 8, whoever is of God hears the words of God. Does that describe you? If it does, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is within you. Is active and at work in your life. Are you listening to the Word of God? Do you believe the Word of God? Are you growing in discernment? Beloved, you are from God and have overcome them, not because of your wisdom, not because of your strength, but because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. Amen. It's our great joy and privilege to have that Spirit of God within us. And it's our desire now to have the Spirit guide us together in prayer. I invite you to pray along with me in the quietness of your own hearts and minds. Let us bring our requests before our God. Let's pray together. Father, we do praise you.